This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 24th, 2008. Harvest continues across the nation, the global economy continues to falter, and prices in Chicago have yet to find real support. Is there more downside left in the marketplace? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Our panelists today in studio are Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. I'm a farmer with all my soybean crop harvested and locked down. I've sold about half of my corn crop and have the capacity to store another 25% on the farm. What should I do with the last 25%? Is it worth paying the elevator to store it? Kurt Kimmel.
Well, if we can get basis to firm up here for a little bit, we'd probably be in favor. Go ahead and move it and get your money and replace ownership on paper.
Bridget Chenoweth.
That's kind of what we've been telling farmers, is to go ahead and sell it and re-own it on paper once we kind of see a bottom put here in this market.
And Steve Schilling.
We're all in agreement on this. Go ahead and sell it. Don't pay the extra price at the elevator and replace it on paper.
December corn futures this week in Chicago had a high of $4.27¾, a low at $3.72. A settlement price there at $3.72¾ finished 30¼ lower from last week, December for next year. A $4.27¾ settlement price, down 30¼ as well. Harvest continues across the nation. The global economy continues to falter. And we want to know this week about what's happening in South America. And we'll talk a bit more about the fundamentals there in the corn market. We'll relate this all to Argentina. Wheat harvest underway with about 3% of that crop in the bin, according to the Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange. It's expected to be a short harvest, down 11%. That country now is in the throes of the planting season, too. It's expected to put a record number of hectares into the bean, some 18.2 million soybean hectares, up 1.3 million from last year. Corn planting is 60% complete in Argentina. That's ahead of schedule by about 6 points, but fewer acres are being put into the ground. So more beans, less corn. Does that mean we'll need to rally U.S. futures in Chicago to have U.S. farmers plant more corn next season? Bridget.
I think the market is going to have to attract those additional corn acres into the market, and to do that, we're going to have to see some higher prices. The farmers are going to be looking at those input costs that are high. A lot of them already haven't prepaid. They have to make that all pencil out on the paper, and to do that, we're going to need to see some higher prices.
Steve, we have to rally corn prices?
I think more than yes, we do because of the high input costs, but I think we need to keep in mind the ratio. We need to keep an eye on the price of beans because it's still a relationship on the ratio of the price of corn versus the price of beans, which will ultimately dictate what farmers plant.
And what would be a good ratio to make farmers plant corn as opposed to beans?
That's a very good question because these input costs have skyrocketed. We've all heard about the higher land prices, the cash rents going through the roof. A lot of those were set back when we had $5-6 corn. Now that we're not looking at anything quite that attractive, I would say at least a 2-5 ratio would probably work in some cases.
Kurt, speaking of fertilizer price, did you make note that an Italian urea producer shut down its plant this week? Will the price of fertilizer move lower this fall? The reason it shut down was because it was thinking it needed to hold inventory off of the marketplace.
Well, they're doing everything they can to keep prices up, but the bottom line is a lot of these retailers got caught booking fertilizer at higher levels. In order to get their money back, they're going to have to pass that cost on. But their stock has dropped. Some of the most popular fertilizer companies, you know, they were trading over $160, $150 a share. Now they're down to $60 a share. They're in a world of hurt. I believe they're probably going to have to move some inventory at some lower level to generate some cash flow.
You know, what are you talking to your producers about this? Are they scared about having booked fertilizer prices and having to deal with this as futures are lower in corn and beans both?
Well, if guys that's got $300 cash rent, yes. I've heard cases where there's going to be 800 acres here, 500 acres there, where they're going to try to get out of it. A lot of guys, I can't say a lot, but I've talked to a few people, are scared to death to go to their banker because they're going to show, I booked my fertilizer. The elevator wouldn't buy anything from me when we were up there, so therefore I can't make it cash flow positive.
You're shaking your head, Steve, in agreement here.
Well, I think Kurt kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit. When we had these attractive prices for 09 and the people were booking some of this, there really wasn't any way. Well, I shouldn't say there wasn't any way. Elevators weren't booking 09 crop. The only feasible way to do it would be go to the futures and buy puts or sell the board. And, you know, that point in time, it looked like they would be in the same boat as a lot of elevators. Margin calls would be horrendous. So nobody really did anything at that point in time.
What do you hear from inside your area there with AgriVisor? You're tied up now with the folks that market fertilizer.
You know, I haven't gone down and talked to them for the past couple of days, but I know that, you know, they've been talking that going forward into 09 that we could see a little bit of drop in some of those input costs. But it, once again, the farmers are kind of in that sticky situation.
Have you talked to them about how producers might make their way through this if they've got some high-priced fertilizer booked?
I haven't talked to them about that.
Anybody got ideas on what they ought to do? Kurt?
Well, you got to do damage control. You know, there's several things you got to look at here. One, we don't have any crop revenue policy set up until we get down the road. Two, the main concern is that we've got broad-based liquidation. So there's still some considerable downside price risk here until we get into next spring to see what some of these revenue policies show. So you still got to do damage control, but guys don't want to look at that. They sort of stick their head in the sand and worry about the 08 crop, what they have to do with that yet.
Well, let's stick with the 09 crop and talk about damage control. What are you going to do?
Well, basically, hopefully, guys sold on the way up, but I know that's not the case everywhere, but we're under the opinion you either got to be in for the long haul or do like we mentioned at the top of the program here, go ahead and lock some cash grain in, get your money, replace it on paper with the idea we get some type of recovery this winter to recoup something to the upside. You got to manage risk, you got to have a plan, and you got to call some of the people you have on this program to get some good ideas.
Okay, so I'm going to stay with you, but I'm going to go across the board on this. Fundamentally, you tell me that there's downside risk. How far down? What's the upside risk to?
Well, I've still talked to a couple of hedge fund managers. They've got to liquidate yet. Come November 15th, they got to write big checks, and they haven't liquidated. If the stock market doesn't hold together, corn could drop another 50 to 75 cents, a beans another $1.50.
Okay, so you're going to put corn, which settled at 372, down to what, 325 or thereabouts?
I hope not, but
Bridget?
I don't have a downside risk number right now. I definitely think that the market has the ability to go further to the downside. For the upside, we're kind of looking at, for corn, the 5 to 550 region, and beans possibly back to $11.
Back to 11? I saw a wow mouthed over here. We'll come back and talk about that in a moment.
Well, one thing we haven't addressed is how much damage have we done to demand worldwide.
Right.
This is a situation that I'm not sure any of us have ever lived through or have ever seen. It's not only here in the United States that's in trouble economically. This whole world is in big trouble. And it seems like whenever we destroy demand, I can remember back when we first had $5 and we were in a new era and we were never going to see corn below $3 again. And, you know, in less than a year or a little over a year, we were under $2 again, cash corn. So demand takes a long time to build. It's great on the way up. But once we destroy that demand, so downside, I think we could have $7 beans.
So your destruction of demand, but I want to bring that back to transportation cost. And the transportation cost to book now Panamax vessels has really dropped. I think it's off something like 90%. Is that because nobody just wants to book anything and it's a fire sale, or is this an opportunity for the export market?
I think the key word is credit. I think, you know, the world revolves around credit, and it has been destroyed until we get some confidence. And we're hearing reports of ships that are loaded overseas. The grain's been bought, but they can't get the letters of credit to even unload. So that goes right back to demand. And I think this is going to be a situation that it's going to take time to play out. We're going to have to stabilize our economy somewhat here in the United States and see what happens.
The dollar is stronger, and that, I would think, puts some pressure on demand for the export market as well.
Well, short term, you got to remember the strength and weakness of the dollar is a long term factor. So as an agriculture producer, I wouldn't be watching that tick chart on the dollar. But yeah, that's going to make our more products more expensive. But like you say, if we can open up this line of credit, these freight rates are low enough to offset some of that strength in the dollar.
What do you see from your point of view on demand overseas? It hasn't really been slacking off that much at this point.
No, it hasn't. And I know just some of those weekly export sales that we've been getting, especially for beans, have been coming in, you know, above trade expectations. To me, that's pretty encouraging considering the current economic situation. So I think as of now, those export sales, especially for beans, are encouraging going forward. If we're going to keep that pace, we're going to have to see a little bit of a drop in the dollar value.
All right. Well, you keep bringing up beans, so let's talk about a bean bubble. You talked to $11 November this week, a high of 944.5, a low at 844.25. November beans settled 30.25 lower at $8.63.75. November beans for next year at 891.5. Down 41.25, proved to me that it can go back to $11. Why?
Well, I just think right now we still have an awful lot of unknown factors going forward before that 09 crop is safely out of the field. We've got over a year from now. We're going to have to look at that South American crop. For the past 2 years, we've had pretty good growing seasons down in South America. We haven't had any serious weather issues. That kind of puts us there in that time window for some weather issues to develop. And if that proves to be the case, I think that could help the markets obviously over here.
That sounds like a pretty long shot to build it on weather. You have any other fundamentals that might work into this?
Well, and you know, right now we're saying here in the U.S. that we're going to see additional bean acres being planted. Farmers aren't going to want to pay those high input costs for corn, but that's a long way away. And if the market changes directions and we see a little bit of strength develop in the corn market, who's to say those farmers can pretty easily switch those bean acres back into corn?
Steve, you disagree?
No, not entirely. I still think the unknown as far as what our acreage is going to be in 09 is probably greater this time of year than I can remember in several years, maybe ever, as far as that's concerned. But I kind of disagree a little bit with Kurt on the dollar index. We do follow that. And I think if anybody of your readers that gets the WILL Newsweek letter last week where you interlaid the price of beans, corn, over the dollar, you can see exactly where the highs were on the grains versus the lows of the dollar, and now they're going in opposite directions. So I think until we can get this dollar stabilized, it's going to be tough to really decide what's going to happen, and I think it will hurt our demand.
Well, what do you call stabilized in the dollar is the question at this point. I mean, we're well off the lows, up about 13 points, I think.
Yeah, 72 to 86, 13
right.
to 14 points,
right.
Yeah. You know, we've hit upside objectives originally of the 86, and it was up again significantly today. So, again, we've still got a lot of hedge funds. We've got a lot of index funds that have still got to get out and liquidate. The flight to freedom is to bonds, and in order to buy bonds from foreign countries, you have to do it with dollars. And that's causing the demand for the dollar to strengthen.
Any rebuttal there?
Well, basically, if you look at demand, most of your demand has been during drought years. Most of your country's demand from foreign-wise has occurred near the highs of big moves. I agree that as the dollar goes up, it makes our products more expensive. But as a farmer, I would not be watching the tick chart and make a decision on the weakness or strength of the dollar. If you go back and study that and look at when the demand occurred, it's more in bull markets because you look at the tops in the past. Who bought the tops? Your Asian buyers have bought at the tops.
Wheat market now. December contract, $5.79 the high, the low at $4.96.5, a settlement price at $5.16.25. Finished 50 cents lower from last week. July wheat at $5.45, and its settlement price was down 53. Anything that a wheat producer who just is putting wheat into the ground for soft red winter wheat here in the Midwest should be doing at this point?
You know, right now we're just seeing if we can get this market to put a bottom in, and we're going to wait, see if we can get some upside movement. And then at that time, we're probably going to likely recommend making some new crop 09 wheat sales.
Taking a look at some of the rest of the marketplace, live cattle futures over at the CME Group, a 91.85 high, a low at 87.02.5. That October contract settled 87.85. It was down $3.20. October feeders at 96.15 were down 2.25. Lean hogs, on the other hand, the December contract 58.72.5. On the high, the low at 56.15, a settlement price at 58.50, up $2.20. December oats this week at $2.50 on their settlement price. We're down 32.5 cents. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good. You're listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of WILL. That's public radio from the farming world from the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather this week was more typically October than the first 2 weeks of the month. Following the passage of a cold front last weekend, temperatures this week were 2 to 3 degrees below normal across Illinois. This was in contrast to the warmer than normal weather the first half of the month. By the end of this week, though, October temperatures were moving closer to normal for the month, except for far southeastern Illinois. The week was dry until Thursday when rain associated with a cold front arcing from a low spinning in the central plains slowly advanced across Illinois. While it was good for lawns and other things still growing, the rain did manage to put a small crimp in harvest progress, especially in western and central Illinois. October precipitation is running somewhat below normal across the state with about a week left to go. The last week of October looks like it will start off with a jolt of cold air. A strong cold front will blast through Illinois on late Sunday and early Monday. High temperatures on Monday will not likely get out of the 40s across the northern two-thirds of Illinois. Overnight low temperatures Monday morning will drop into the 30s across northern and central Illinois and into the upper 20s and 30s across the state on Tuesday morning. This will likely end the growing season in much of the state, which is about 2 weeks later than normal. Once the center of high pressure moves east, winds will turn southerly, and a gradual warm-up will ensue across Illinois for the last half of the week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the October the 24th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Steve Schilling from Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. If you'd like to hear this program again, please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Our guest this week for the program is University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. You can read information from Dr. Good weekly online at the Farm Doc website. The address there is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Daryl, let's pick up with a subject you and I discussed on Thursday morning of this week. We talked about the value of corn to the ethanol and livestock industries. Can you relate first for us how you calculate value or the break-even price for corn to the ethanol producer?
Well, we use just a pretty straightforward method there, Todd. Assume some kind of a yield of ethanol per bushel of corn, typically 2.8 gallons. So you know what the gross return is from a gallon of ethanol. You can then calculate the cost of running the plant the value of the DDGs that you're getting from that process, and then calculate what's left to pay for corn. So as ethanol prices go up and down, that break-even price that the ethanol producer can afford to pay changes proportionally with that price of ethanol.
And then you related that to me with crude oil. And as I went back through what you and I had discussed, and maybe I got this right and maybe I got it wrong, but it looked like the ratio, you gave me $80 crude, $4 corn, $70 crude, $3.50 corn. So it was, you know, rough, not 2-to-1, but it breaks out that way, roughly speaking. Is that the right ratio?
I think that's pretty close. The thing that changes, of course, is the crack spread changes. It's not constant, so gasoline prices are not strictly a fixed relationship to crude oil. And also, the price of ethanol is not in a lockstep with the price of gasoline. Those do vary somewhat. So it is a rough calculation, but I think certainly puts you right in the ballpark with those numbers.
Dr. Good, on the way up on corn prices, there's a lot of speculation at the time that, well, they won't make it at $3, they won't make it at $4, they won't make it at $5, $6, $7 on up. How were some of these guys able to stay in business buying cash corn at much higher levels than we ever dreamt of?
Well, you know, I think if everybody stayed in the spot market, if you were buying corn in the spot market, selling DDGs in the spot market and selling ethanol in the spot market, I'm not sure anybody does that exactly. Margins have never been bad for the ethanol producer. Some were able to really enhance their margins by buying corn on the way up. We call that hedging, but in fact it was speculating just one side of the market. And then, of course, some have gotten themselves into trouble by hedging corn at the top of the market, that is, again, speculating on one side of the market, buying corn at the high but not selling ethanol. So some people have enhanced or hindered their margins by their buying decisions on corn, but just in the spot market, we've really never seen extended periods more than a couple weeks where the gross margin was less than $2 a bushel. On ethanol, we figure running the plant's about $1.50 a bushel. Overhead costs 50 to 60 cents. So margins generally have been quite good, not good enough to warrant new construction probably, but certainly to keep existing plants running.
I just had a generalized question of going forward into 2009. How do you just kind of have a general feel for this ethanol demand?
Well, ethanol demand will be there. It's a function of price, of course. And as long as ethanol is priced competitive with unleaded gas, we'll continue to use that. And we have plenty of capacity in place to continue to expand ethanol production, and I think we will continue to do that. But the question, of course, then is at what price of corn does that happen? And that's going to be very much a function of crude oil prices, which now I think is going to be very much a function of kind of the general economic situation. How much of a recession do we actually get into?
Dr. Good, this may be a political question, but it's not meant to be, but both of the presidential candidates are in favor of doing away with the subsidies of ethanol. How does that portray on down in the future as far as the price of corn and meeting the demand for ethanol?
Well, you know, if we do away with those subsidies, obviously we undercut the current economics. But frankly, I think that will be a decision Congress makes rather than the executive branch. So we can talk about that, but I would guess that the likelihood of that happening is awfully low.
I bought some stock in Pacific Ethanol for $1 a share. Am I okay there or not?
Probably won't get hurt too bad.
Double up and buy Verisun, too.
Touch on something we visited about earlier amongst our panel here on this 2009 and producers lock in higher inputs. What have you been picking up from producers? Do you see some fear there or concern?
Well, I do. I think they were priced at higher prices and earlier. I mean, buying inputs ahead of time is not unusual. We do that every year, and a lot of farmers don't forward price their crops when they buy their inputs. I think the only difference this year was two differences. One, They were forced to do that a lot earlier in some cases, and secondly, at much higher prices than we've been used to. So there was a lot of sticker shock. Now I think the salt will be, if those input prices do moderate into the spring of the year, folks are going to feel bad about that decision.
Daryl, how do you view the fundamentals coming out of South America impacting what happens in the U.S. next spring?
Well, I think clearly their acreage decisions will be certainly important, and it looks like now that there will be an increase in soybean acreage in Argentina in particular, and I think that's going to continue to weigh on the overall fundamentals, particularly if, as I believe, our own crop production estimate gets bigger next month. We're going to see some pretty good supply pressure, I think, on the soybean market near term. That's probably going to be the same on corn if that production number gets bigger, and unless we see some improvement in export demand here near term, I think we're going to be looking at prospects for ample supplies getting through this year.
Change the subject just a little bit on the livestock sector. This break in grain prices, is it a blessing to the livestock producer, or are they going to be hit by lower livestock returns on their sales?
You know, I think maybe a little bit of both, Kurt, but I think bottom line, it's going to be very helpful to them. It's maybe a bit ironic now that the livestock producer is the highest bidder for corn right now. They suffered through a little bit with the big margins in the ethanol and the high corn prices, but frankly, $50 hogs, producers can basically cover all their costs at $4 corn. So I think it's going to mean that they're going to stay in the black, and I think it means that we won't get quite the cut in numbers that had been anticipated.
Are you anticipating a modest increase in corn and soybean prices coming into the new year?
I do. I think, obviously, the big question right now is from what level do we get that increase? I could envision some additional weakness near term, but some rebound from lows that we hopefully will see here near harvest time or shortly after would be anticipated as we go into the uncertainty of the spring of the year. Right now, I think you would have to have fairly modest expectations about that rebound, but would be hopeful that it would happen.
Any final word from you to producers about what they ought to be doing at this point?
There's no really words of wisdom, Todd. I think holding on to some of the crop for that post-harvest rebound is certainly going to be prudent to do.
Thank you much, Daryl.
Thank you, Todd.
Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, joining us here on this October 24th edition of Commodity Week. Our thanks to our panelists in studio, and a final word from them. We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Technically, the market looks like it's trying to hold here, so next week's going to be real important to see some signs of strength.
Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor.
And those farmers are getting real tired, and I just want to tell everybody to slow down and be really careful.
And Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I would second that. Be safe and have a great rest of the harvest.
Our thanks to Bridget Chenoweth with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois. And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always listen to Commodity Week anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a safe week and a safe harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.